Good morning, everyone. My name is Sue Schenk. I am the communication coordinator here at Grace Covenant Church, and I never thought I would get to preach in a jungle. So this is like a first for me. I can say now I have preached in a jungle. We were kidding this morning before the service we met, and we thought, actually, this is your visual to learn Psalm 1, verse 3 that says, I'm like a by a stream, trying to make that scripture memorization easy and obvious. Well, welcome to week 3 of our Summer of Psalms series. It's the tongue twister of a Sunday summer series on the book of Psalms. So here's a very super brief review of what we've covered so far. In week 1, we did what I called a 50,000 feet view of the whole book of Psalms. And we find, you'll find a lot of that information in the brochures in front of you. There's a very colorful, beautiful brochure. You are welcome to take that home. That's a lot of overview of the book of Psalms. And then on the back, there's some ways that you can memorize the Psalms, that you can get into the Psalms. And so as we did that overview, we learned that we're digging into a book of songs. The Psalms were written to be sung. It was actually the people's hymnal. If you come from a traditional denominational church, you would, you know, I grew up in the Presbyterian church, come every Sunday, sit in the pew, and in front of you was, our hymnal was maroon in my Presbyterian church. I know it's different colors, but the book of Psalms was the people's hymnal. It was a book of songs. And we learn that these are songs about life, real life. They're songs of life, and they're songs of life, full of life. You know, when we think of the book of Psalms, if you're familiar with the book of Psalms, what we can automatically think of is David. And he's sitting on the hillside with a harp and sheep in the background, and he's just praising the Lord, and everything is beautiful. And though some of the Psalms do fit that picture, there are plenty of them that are not so pretty, not so idyllic, and not so picturesque. The book of Psalms, depending on which commentators you read, contain 5 to 8 different types of psalms. And in the remaining weeks, that's how we want to cover the book of Psalms, because as I alluded to 2 weeks ago, if we covered one psalm a week, 150 psalms, we would be in this series for 2.8 years, and you all would go out of your mind with boredom, probably. So we're covering different types of psalms. And so last week in week 2, Mike Souter here and Becca Sly over at East had us looking at the psalms that are hymns. And these are the psalms that do fit the picture of David on a hillside, playing a harp, praising God. Everything is perfect. The sun is shining. Life is going well. The emphasis on these psalms is praise to God. Praise for his greatness and his goodness. Praise for his creation. Praise for him being a deliverer. Praise for him being faithful. But how many of you have lived long enough to know that life isn't always a bowl of cherries, a harp on a hillside, lift my hands and praise the Lord kind of deal? Life is hard. Tragedy happens. Sickness comes. We mess up relationships. People hurt us. We get angry. We despair. We wonder, God, where are you? We wonder if he hears our prayers, and we wonder, do you even care? God, do you even care? Can anyone relate? Thank you. One person can relate. Believe it or not, the psalmist could relate, and they wrote about it, and it made the final cut in Scripture. You know, 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed. And so the psalms, these psalms that are, you know, bold and hurting, they made the final cut of scripture. And these are the type of psalms that we call psalms of lament. And that's the kind of psalms we're going to look at today. More specifically, communal laments. And I've chosen to call today's sermon The Cries, Concerns, and Questions of a Community. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you that you are the God of our praise the Lord times, and you are the God of our valley times. Lord, I thank you that you've included in your word the rawness of people who are hurting and lamenting. And so, God, as we dig a little bit deeper into that this morning, would you open the eyes of our heart to what you want us corporately to hear as well as individually? I don't know how you do it, Lord, but I know that you can meet each single individual in this room right where they're at. So, Lord, would you do that? Would you do that by the things we hear this morning, by the things we have sung and will sing? God, come and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Lament. It's not a word we hear much anymore. You don't hear people walking around saying, I was lamenting yesterday. We just don't hear that word anymore. Yet we don't have to go very far to find expressions of it. Now, not to diss you country music fans out there. However, it's pretty easy to hear some lamenting coming over the airways when you listen to country music. I actually Googled sad country music songs, and they have all these lists, the top 40 saddest country music songs. And I'm not going to say if I'm pro-country or anti-country, but listen to some of the, just the titles themselves. I'm not even going to read you the lyrics. They'll probably get even more full of lament. Just the titles. I'm so lonesome, I could die. Hank Williams. I fall to pieces. Patsy Cline, Waiting Around to Die, Towns Van Sant. How's that for a name? Shelby Lynn wrote, Heaven's Only Days Down the Road. And Keith Urban says, Tonight I Want to Cry. There's lots of lamenting going on here, and I'm sure those of you who are very familiar with country music could say, oh, lady, you haven't even touched the top of it. It gets worse. Caitlin, who is helping to lead worship this morning, she had texted me about a week ago and said, hey, is there anything like special requests or specific you want for worship next week? And I was like, well, I'm kind of talking on communal laments, and so I don't really want worship to be full of lament songs. So I'm not sure what to tell you, because that would start us off on a pretty sad note. To lament is to express great sorrow, regret, or grief about something or someone. It can be verbally expressed in wailing, weeping, or crying. It's very demonstrative, and I think that's part of why it can make us uncomfortable. There's not many of us that are comfortable around people who are wailing, weeping. It makes us a little bit uncomfortable, but church, laments are biblical. They are biblical. There's an entire book of the Bible focused on them called Lamentations. It was most likely written by Jeremiah as he witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem. And that book, Lamentations, was originally titled Alas, or How, indicating weeping or some other sad event. It might be hard for us to swallow the idea of somebody complaining to God, but it's right there in Scripture, multiple times. And laments are throughout the book of Psalms. And so, if they're a prominent part of Scripture, then we should know what laments are, what their purpose is, and how in the world do they apply to us today. One-third of the book of Psalms, the majority of the book of Psalms, were written and sung as laments. That was kind of shocking to me when I read that, because I do tend to think the David with the harp on the hillside, but the majority of the Psalms were laments. These laments were also referred to a psalm of complaint, because that's what they were filled with. Complaining, crying out, concerns, questions, psalms of complaint. And they don't ask indirect, gentle questions like, oh God, I was just sort of wondering, like, if you wouldn't mind, could you sort of tell me what's going on, or I'm just a little bit bothered. No, the questions in the Psalms were bold and direct. Things like, how long, O God? Or, why are you asleep, O Lord? How about this one? Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks. Like, I'm not kidding. That's out of Psalm 138. And I actually was in that psalm in my devotional this past week. And I was like, okay, I'm bothered by that. That crossed a line. Like, happy. And actually, the devotional went on to say that probably that line was written by the psalmist because that's what he saw the enemy doing to their children. And so he was like, you know what? I hope you get that right back at you. But these are bold statements. Very bold and very direct. The laments in the Psalms express the heartache and the pain that the Israelites experienced as they lived out their faith, both individually and corporately. A commentator by the name of G. Brooke Lester said, "Lament goes unflinchingly at the present reality of pain and at God's apparent slowness to save." Now, there's two types of laments that we'll find in the Psalms. There's the personal laments, which we'll be looking at next week. And they're the laments that are sung, and they were written and sung on behalf of me, my situation, and how this affects me. And then there's communal laments, and they were written on behalf of us, our situation, and how this affects all of us. In the communal laments of the Psalms, we see how an entire nation, an entire people group was hurting. And these type of Psalms, the communal Psalms, describe the problems faced by the people of God. They were often written following a natural disaster, a plague, or an oppression by enemies. Some were directed at God. Oh God, help us. And some were directed at the enemies. Happy is the man who takes your babies and smashes them against rocks. These communal laments were communal prayers, communal songs, and they were often accompanied with fasting as well. And though there wasn't one set formula of how, you know, five easy steps to write a communal lament, there wasn't a formula. Usually, it started with addressing God. Oh God, where are you? Something along that line. Then there was a description of the distress that they were in. Then there was a petition for his intervention. Come on, God, help us out. And then at the end, it would ask for a blessing or an action. Sometimes the communal laments ended by acknowledging the goodness and the greatness of God, and sometimes it didn't. Communal laments did not usually end with any kind of resolution. So it wasn't like, I'm complaining, and here's what we're going to do, and we did it, and it all ended happily ever after. Actually, the communal laments, there was a definite sense of, here is everything that we are grieving and there's sorrow over, and now, God, we're just going to leave it with you, and we're going to wait, and we trust you. And how many of you know that God is never slow? that his timing in answering our prayers and our laments is always perfect. Ecclesiastes 3:11, one that many of you may be familiar with, says he, God, makes everything beautiful in its time, but there's another translation that says he makes everything appropriate in his time. And so though we may feel like, where are you? Aren't you going to do something? God makes everything appropriate in his time. One commentator noted, we must not deny honest pain nor jump too quickly from loss to acceptance and skip over the lamenting process. Christian faith does proclaim a message of hope, but death and grief are still real. So it's actually healthy that the psalmist didn't go from, we have all this, and then boom, at the end, we're fine, we're good. It was okay to just leave it unresolved and leave it to the Lord. The psalmist took the community through the lamenting process as he wrote these communal laments, and then they prayed and sung them together. Communal laments help to bring the people together. It helped them to not feel so alone in the midst of a tragedy or in the midst of attacks of the enemy. I want to read you two portions of two psalms that were written as communal laments. And both were written by Asaph. He is a Levite, and he was actually one of David's choir directors, or one, if you want to say, one of his worship leaders. And they were written as communal laments after King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple. So this is Psalm 79, and I want you to listen to how often Asaph says us, or we, or our. And you know what? I'll just give you a spoiler alert. You're not going to be encouraged by the time I'm done reading this. This is a psalm of communal lament, but I want you to hear it's right here in Scripture. Psalm 79, God, won't you do something? Barbarians have invaded your inheritance, your temple of holiness has been violated, and Jerusalem has been left in ruins. The corpses of your loving people are lying in the open, food for the beasts and the birds. The shed blood of your servants has soaked the city with no one left to bury the dead. Now the nearby nations heap their scorn upon us, scoffing, mocking us incessantly. How much longer, O Jehovah God, must we endure this? Does your anger have no end? Will your jealousy burn like a raging fire? If you're going to pour out your anger, pour it out on all these nations around us, not on us. Do you not just love that? Like, I feel like, God, you're being generous with our enemy, and you're putting all your anger on us, is basically what he's saying. They're the ones who do not love you like we do. See how they've attacked us, consuming the land, leaving it desolate. Please, God, don't hold the sins of our fathers against us. Don't make us pay for their sins. Hurry to our side and let your tender-hearted mercy meet us in our need, for we are devastated beyond belief. O hero, come and rescue us. O God of the breakthrough, for the glory of your name, come and help us. Forgive and restore us, heal us, and cover us in your love. Why should all the nations sneer at us, saying, where is this God of yours? Now is the time, Lord. Show your people and all the world that you will avenge this slaughter and bloodshed once and for all. Listen, Lord. Hear the sighing of all the prisoners of war, all those doomed to die. Demonstrate your glory power and come and rescue your condemned children. Lord God, take what these mocking masses have done to us and pay it all back to them seven times over. Then we, your lovers, will forever thank you, praising your name from generation to generation. I love that. You know, he goes from, you know, take what they've done to us and pay it back to them, and then praise you, God. We're going to praise you. That's raw emotion. That is raw emotion. And then I just want to read parts of Psalm 83, and this also was Asaph after the destruction of Jerusalem. He was taking the people in a lot of communal laments. God, you have to do something. Don't be silent and just sit idly by. Can't you see what they're doing? All your enemies are stirred up in an uproar. They despise you, Lord. In their defiant arrogance, they raise up to host their secret council against your people. They conspire together to come and harm your cherished ones, your hidden ones. Our enemies keep saying, now is the time to wipe Israel off the map. We'll destroy even the memory of her existence. They've made their pact consulting and conspiring, aligning together in their covenant against God. Blow them away, God, like straw in the wind, like a tumbleweed in the wilderness. Burn them up like a raging fire roaring down the mountainside. Consume them all until only charred sticks remain. Chase them away like before a mighty storm and terrifying tempest. Oh, Lord, disgrace them until their faces fill with shame and make them acknowledge the glory of your name. Make them utter failures in everything they do. No blessing coming out of his mouth. Make them utter failures in everything they do until they perish in total disgrace and humiliation. So they will know that you and you alone are Yahweh, the only most high God, exalted over all the earth. Church, this is intense. This is raw. This is real. This is real life. The psalmist isn't taking matters into his own hands. He's laying it all out there and basically saying, God, this is how we feel. I'm really angry right now, God. And I'm just going to leave it at your feet. And can I just say, I'm really thankful that God doesn't answer all my prayers that I pray when I'm angry. I'm really thankful that God didn't immediately like, okay, I'll bet right on that. The emotions that the psalmist was feeling and that he was taking the community through were very real. But thank goodness God did not answer immediately, because what we say sometimes in our anger and our grief, we don't really want. So, how in the world does all of this apply to us today? What do we do with communal laments in 2019? Hey, I'm going to have some people over tomorrow night for a communal lament. You want to come? Like, nobody's doing that. At least I haven't been invited to a communal event. You know, I was thinking about that. I thought, Lord, this is challenging, because my heart is, how do I apply this today? And how am I going to encourage the church to apply this today when communal laments? I'll have to talk to the lead pastor who made the schedule and put me on this topic. Kind of have a direct connection with him. Well, I did think that, you know, on a national scale, as Asaph was taking the nation in his Psalms, on a national scale, we don't hear much about communal laments. Though I can certainly imagine that some were being written and prayed after the events of September 11th. I think no matter who you are, that affected everybody. And I can think that today there could be communal laments for our nation and the divisiveness, the division in our country. But if that feels kind of removed for you, like, yeah, as a nation, whatever, I'm going to bring it down, funnel it down closer and closer. Could we not, as a state, or a region of Virginia, pray a communal lament over the rally and rioting that happened in Charlottesville in August of last year. My daughter was still in school at that point over in Charlottesville when all that happened, and she told me that, I want to say it was maybe the weekend after it occurred, that a lot of churches had gotten together and had actually walked the grounds of UVA, because that's where, you know, that the people had started with torches and stuff, and so these churches had gathered and walked and prayed and sung on the grounds of UVA. And that just, you know, I don't know if there was a communal lament going on, but boy, that does my heart good. So could we as a state come together for issues of our state? Could we not, as a Harrisonburg-Rockingham community, pray a communal lament over the issues here? Homelessness, sex trafficking, racism. Could we not, as Grace Covenant Church, gather and pray a communal lament on behalf of attacks coming against our faith in general, or if we know one of our pastoral staff or our congregational or congregation people are having a hard time, come together for a communal lament? Could we not gather as a small group and pray a communal lament on behalf of that group member who's walking through a really difficult time? One of the groups that Merle and I led several years ago, a couple had just started to attend, and within months of them attending, the husband was diagnosed with cancer, and we believed and believed and believed that he was going to be healed, and he wasn't. And he passed away at a relatively young age, leaving behind an 8-year-old, 9-year-old son at that point. You know, as a group, we didn't just jump back into, well, praise the Lord. You know, God knows best. Praise the Lord. There's a sense of a communal lament for a while after we met as a group. Could we not gather as a group of friends and pray a communal lament on behalf of one of our friends who is really hurting? Life is hard. Invariably, one of your friends will go through a difficult season. Or could we not gather as a family and pray a communal lament on behalf of a tragedy or an injustice that's been done to one of our family members? In the New Testament, it says in Galatians 6, we are to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And communal laments are exactly that. We're weeping with those who weep. Anything that's done in community, whether it's rejoicing or lamenting, helps us not to feel so alone and so isolated. You know, if you haven't figured it out by now, the enemy loves to mess with us and pick us off when we're isolated, when we're by ourselves. Isolation makes things feel so much worse. It keeps it all inside our heads. And all we're doing is processing it with me and my thoughts. Communal laments. There is health in not isolating yourself, whether it's rejoicing or lamenting. Be in community. Rejoice in community. Lament in community. Now, I can imagine that this whole concept of lamenting makes some of you feel a little bit uncomfortable. The thought of being ugly honest before God, that makes me uncomfortable. That's a little bit disrespectful. Church, God wants our honest expression. He can handle it. He's not weak. He's not frail. I thought it was so interesting to see that in Isaiah 53, we hear this so often, but in this context it says, he too was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So your sorrow, our grief isn't gonna, he too was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And the next verse says that he bore our griefs and our sorrows and pains, which means he knew we were going to have them. Isaiah prophesied that he would bear our sorrow and our grief and our pain because they were going to be a part of life. And it does not freak God out to hear us express them. Well, Sue, isn't lamenting kind of showing a lack of faith? No. Actually, it's quite the opposite. It's an act of faith. Knowing that I can bring my questions, my tears, my concern, my anger, my grief to the one who can remedy the situation. That takes faith. That turns us towards God. I'm more concerned if we're going through the grief and the sorrow and we have our back towards God. I remember when our kids were teenagers, one of the things that Merle would say is, you know what, as long as they're talking, it's when they get silent that concerns me. But if they're still talking, even if they don't agree with us or it's negative, at least they're still talking. You know what, when you're going through hard time, keep talking to God. Keep talking. It's not a lack of faith to lament. If you only remember one thing from what I've shared today, if your brain can only handle one thing, or if you've been tuned out up until this point, just tune in for like 5 seconds, because here's the thing I want you to remember. Prayer may well feature question marks alongside exclamation points. I saw that quote in my study and I thought, that's it. That's it. Because sometimes we're afraid of the question marks. We think that our prayers should all be exclamation points. Praise God, you're awesome, you're good, and he is. But there's a lot of question marks in life. And for some of you, this should be a breath of fresh air. You don't have to stuff it or put on a happy, clappy face all the time. Stuffing our emotions, trying to change our circumstances, or distract ourselves with unhealthy things or habits will not take away our distress on a personal level or on a community level. Help comes from when we call to our God. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. You know, back then, a lot of the people who were not worshiping God, their idols were up on hills. So that can take it from, I lift up my eyes to the hills, but is that where my help comes from? No, my help comes from God. Maybe today we could say, I lift up my eyes to my cell phone or TV or pornography or music. Is that where my help comes from? No. Our help comes from the Lord. Church, we're studying Psalms. It's a book that speaks to all seasons of life. And not all of them have happy endings. It's hard. Let's just admit what we already know. We have grief, we have sorrow, we have injustice done to us, we have questions. But instead of stuffing it and putting on a happy face, let's fall on our face and cry out to God. Let's take our question marks and our exclamation points to him. Church, I want to free you up this morning. Lament. Lament when it's needed. Now, I'm not condoning, well, that lady said I could lament, so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to stay here the rest of my life. I'm not saying that you lament for the rest of your life, But there are seasons and times when it's absolutely necessary, both individually and as a community. Lament. This past April, I went to a Beth Moore conference with a friend of mine, and Beth Moore actually spoke on Psalm 73, which would be considered more of a personal lament. And she was sharing, she didn't say what the issue was, but she just shared how she went through something super difficult. And a pastor friend of hers at one point, you know, was checking up on her about it. And she's like, well, I mean, kind of explaining where he's at. And she said that this pastor said to her, well, you need to have a season of lamenting. And as soon as she said that, something in me got really freed up. Because the year before, and I talked about this in November, so I'm not going to go through it, but our daughter was diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer. And I felt like I had been lamenting, but I felt like I shouldn't be doing that. And as soon as she said that, I thought, it's okay for me to lament. It was okay for me to lament. Church, I want to free you up. Sometimes we need to have a season of lamenting, both individually and corporately, where our prayers might be filled with a lot more question marks. And our exclamation points don't come after, praise the Lord. They come after, where are you? What was that all about? But God is truly the one who can wipe away the tears we cry, speak peace over our concerns, and bring answers to our questions. He is the God that we can trust with our laments. Karen, if you would come up, why don't we stand as I close? You know, again, this was a hard topic for me because I thought, what do I do? Close with, well, let's all read a communal lament. You know, wah, wah, have a great week. So I was like, Lord, what do I do? So what I want to do is I want to end by reading Psalm 62 over you. And the reason I chose Psalm 62 is because in verse 8, the psalmist says, pour out your hearts before him. And every time I have read that scripture, I'm confident. It doesn't just mean pour out the happy stuff in my heart. It's pour it all out. The anger, the questions, the sadness, the grief. And so as I read this, if that concept is foreign to you of, wow, like, gut-wrenching honesty before God, then as I read this psalm, could you just hold your hands out in a posture of receiving? I want to receive the freedom to pour out my heart. Pour it all out. And then I'm also going to read just one verse out of Psalm 79, which I read earlier. And what I loved about that psalm is he called out to the God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. And perhaps you're here this morning and you have just been stuck. And it's time, you need to break through. It's time to break through. And so again, if that's you, I'm just going to ask that you hold your hands out in a posture of receiving. And perhaps this would be the day for you to receive your breakthrough, or this will be the day for you to have freedom to pour out your heart before him. So let me read Psalm 62, trust in God alone. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God. my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. And in Psalm 79, the psalmist calls out to the God of the breakthrough. So God, on behalf of this community here of Grace Covenant Church in this room right now, I'm simply asking two things. I'm asking that you, anyone in this room who needs to be freed up to pour out their heart before you, God, would you do that today? Free them up. The things maybe they've been stuffing and hiding or feeling like, I couldn't be that raw before God. Would you free them? Would you let the faucets, let them loose and let it pour out before you? And we do call on you as the God of the breakthrough. And so for any of us here who have felt stuck in an area that we need to break through to another place, God, we call upon you as the God of the breakthrough. Would you do what only you can do? Change us and transform us. You alone are our rock and our salvation. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Church, you are dismissed. Have a wonderful week. Pray. Pray on behalf of your community and pour out your heart before him. Amen.